This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Today is the day, Curtis. Today is the day it all changes. It all turns the corner. 5 o'clock sunshine. I checked my weather app today. I know you're the weather guy. But that's when it turns. We've also got the Celtics on the road where they are road warriors. We've also got Jordan winning Miss Maine, I think, today. And we have John Henry taking care of business in the heartland. Your owner, my owner, as the Red Sox turn the corner. Today is crochet day. Today is the day Boston heals all its wounds.
Yeah, I would like to take credit for John Henry flying to Kansas City. I think the cages were rattled on the Greg Hill show. Craig Breslow didn't have a great answer for why he's afraid or not afraid of Rafael Devers. And then you had the, you know, pathetic, there's no other word for it, pathetic post-game comments from Devers. By the way, James 3-0 at Fenway this year, so get him the tickets.
Did he stay
Sam.
For the end? He's got Greg leaving the seventh inning. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he's tired, you don't want to be near him.
Get James to Kansas City. God, I needed him in the 12th last night.
But the we watched all 12 innings. But the I feel like what transpired on Thursday has been in some ways lost in the chaotic, awful start to the second round of the playoffs by the Celtics and the insane stories that keep surrounding our former head coach with the Patriots.
Another Pro Football Talk headline 10 minutes ago, by the way, about Bill. So we'll get to that later.
And so what Devers did was as bad of a moment as you can possibly have to stand there and admonish the team for asking you to do something and saying that they already no. The Red Sox brought in a better third baseman. You're a good hitter. You're the designated hitter. Tristan Casas suffers a season-ending injury, and they ask you to play first. Like, even if you don't want to do it, you get the mitt, you go out there, and you say, yeah, I'm not comfortable.
Well, what happened the last time? He was emotional. It looked bad. And then he came around.
Did he? He's still bitching about it. He still takes grounders at third base,
according to
Breslow.
Well, that's fine. Good.
What are you talking about? If he's no longer playing third, why is he still taking grounders at third?
That's part of his pregame routine. He just likes to stay loose.
So why wouldn't he just go to first then?
Maybe instead of doing yoga or sunbathing in the outfield, that's his his pregame routine.
So there's a better chance, because we've had several instances this year. Bregman became a father again. So he was, I think it was in Baltimore. Bregman went back to Boston. Mm-hmm. And Devers was the DH. He wasn't playing third base.
Right.
The team.
Do you doubt Cora said you're the DH all year? We're not coming to you and changing our. This is it. We're going to make you the DH.
Things happen. Like, there's a great. One of the Patriots Super Bowl, you know, the NFL fills America's team after mm-hmm. each Super Bowl.
Sure.
There's a great scene where, you know, they entered a game. I think it was the Falcons. I don't remember. It was like 04. And on the first play of the game, whether it was Earthwin Moreland or one of the Jag cornerbacks went down, and Troy was in emergency if that guy goes down, you're playing. Well, he ended up playing like the entire game on the defense as well as offense and special teams. And Bill Belichick said, you know, it was, of course that happens. You know, it's the first play of the game, and now Troy Brown's got to play the entire game there. Well, that's what happens in life.
I get it, but as a manager, Curtis, I've been in some of these meetings where you ask people to change their jobs, change their roles. Yes, you have the hammer to be able to do so, but people are human. They don't like alterations in their life. They have a certain mindset of where they think their career projection is going. And if you get in the way of that, they're going to be emotional in the moment. So you have to expect that.
I'm not saying that he should go in there and do a jig because he got asked to go to first base. The people that you've had those conversations with haven't been on shows that were really successful.
Yeah.
So if you're in the moment, I'm not saying not in the past. Saying the day that you were having a talk with someone about changing their role, it was due in at least some part to the fact that their current role wasn't achieving the intended results.
Right, and in this case, actually, Devers is the one hitting. He had a lone ribby last night. I mean, he's actually producing in this new role that he finally came around to.
Right, but it's a role that he told us he was better at when he was in the field.
Yeah. Look, I said last week, and I stand by this, I wanted Rafi to be the guy that came to Cora and said, pound on the desk, put me at first, I'm team guy. He obviously didn't do that. But I'm confident that he's just kind of a baby and will come around eventually. And today he'll take grounders at first. Do you doubt that?
I don't know. I mean, he is not. But that's why Bregman's here. Don't you see that, the way in which he's handling himself? Cora said we need to bring in a winning player, a guy that prioritizes team over self.
Right.
Because look at this petulant child, the highest paid player on the team, $300 million coming his way, and he bitches about everything.
Yeah. Great job by Cora, by the way. In that case, where would they be without Bregman? The guy is an AL MVP candidate. He's, he's the one guy you can count on in the lineup. And Devers is playing pretty well.
Ever since the beginning where Bregman had a couple errors, he's been spectacular.
Play last night was a thing of beauty. They are actually a joy to watch defensively, mostly, across the board. They can't hit, though. They've got gaps. And Devers going to first would help because then you put Anthony at the DH spot and you get one of the young bats up here. So it is a big problem. That's why John Henry's there. He knows this team is on the brink. This is, I don't know if those reports in the locker room were accurate of, you know, from Gabriel Starr about some teammates were looking and, you know, upset at what Devers was saying.
I saw Cotillo did a podcast with McAdam. They shared a video.
Yeah.
And they said basically that there were people who were pissed on Devers' behalf and there were people that were pissed at Devers.
Yeah, so that's not good. And Ted Johnson said it yesterday. He's now concerned. He wasn't at first, but now he is. As a guy who's been in locker rooms, this can divide a room. Baseball's a little different, I think, than football. You would probably agree.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't need to get along. There's always cliques and, you know, 25 guys, 25 cabs. We've seen those stories work before. But in this case, it does seem like it's a dangerous situation. Do you give John Henry at least a little credit for getting on the plane and going out there? I get sucked in by the cigar photo when they got the deal done with Bregman, and now he's out there, the presence is there.
I think Henry has a lot invested in Rafael Devers, and guaranteed, and this is a smart move, I think it was the absolute right thing to do. You got to go there, you got to look at him in the eye and say, what are you doing?
But, he could easily have not done that, and we would have been same old John Henry, not involved, not engaged.
I think he did it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wiggy said billionaires will buy Babe Ruth's underwear for $5 million.
I don't know.
And they're fine with it. So sometimes you put money in as a guy of this wealth, and it doesn't matter. But at least even if it's surface level, the fact that he went out there and got in the room with the guy, I think, goes a long way with Red Sox fans. I could be wrong.
You think he started with ChatGPT formulated message and then said that didn't work?
With Google Translate?
Right. How do I admonish a player I owe $100 million
to? They probably just bashed Breslow together. Which, by the way, so here's the clip. Curtis got it started on Thursday. Dialogue sitting day for Mike Partner. He asked the chief baseball officer what's going on with the Breslow situation.
Craig, I have to say, this is one of the weirdest weeks I've had watching this team, following this team in 40 years. Why is the team afraid of Rafael Devers?
I don't think anybody is afraid of Rafael Devers. Obviously, we had a difficult conversation with him in spring training, moving him off of third base and into the DH spot because we felt like that was what's best for the team, and we'll continue to operate with what is best for the team front of mind.
So is he right? Nobody's afraid of Devers?
They all are.
I mean, Breslow did go to him eventually that day and have the conversation, obviously, or earlier. I don't know when that – do you think that conversation happened right after he got off the phone with you guys?
No, I think that there was the Cora conversation on the afternoon show.
Yep.
Where he basically
Wednesday, he finally admitted
that it's
– we're not ruling it out.
We're not ruling it out. And there had been a clear pivot. You had sent us a story over the weekend, the last weekend, where there were contradictory comments coming from Breslow and Cora about the state of Devers and what were they going to do after Casas went down. Cora clearly has a better understanding day-to-day of the psyche of these guys, and he knew this was going to happen, you know, that Devers, or had a good feeling it wasn't going to be pretty. But the organization... And I think I agree with their approach here that I was wrong about just throw Roman Anthony there or do. You have the number one prospect in baseball. You need to do whatever you can to get him here to help you.
Oh, their lineup yesterday when they get into Abraham Toro and Connor Wong territory, it is just tough.
Snoozer. And so this is the answer. If it works, your team is better than it was when Casas was healthy.
Possibly a championship team. Right? I mean, it would be ahead of their time. I don't think they're going to win the World Series,
they're 500 through a quarter of the season.
I know, but they are 4-10 in one-run games. And if you flip that, they're 3 games back of the Yankees. They are in the division lead. And again, I don't think they, you know, are going to win it this year, but if you add a piece, one great piece, if he really is top prospect in baseball impact, this could be a deep run. That's what's at stake here.
Of course, they're a talented team. I thought they'd go to the World Series. I mean, the DNA is, this is an inflection point. This is sort of like, you know, as I said, I don't think I've ever heard this kind of open rebuke of management by a superstar player. Like, Manny was weird, eccentric. He was kind of like unreliable. He would, you know, shove the traveling secretary, but wasn't exactly a guy that was cantankerous or would verbalize these things in a negative way.
You think Devers pushed Breslow?
I think that Devers just looks at him like, who are you?
He probably doesn't know that it's not Chaim Bloom. Like, for a while, like, it's just another suit.
Right.
But he did mention the guy played before. He should know. Like, he brought that up in his quotes this week. You know, Breslow was a former player. He should know this isn't easy. Anyway, here's Breslow. Here's Cora yesterday, who was trying to recap the meeting. Breslow wasn't invited to this little sit-down in the manager's office.
Oh, no.
Only Alex and John Henry.
I thought it was productive. I think obviously having everybody here and in the same place, it means a lot, not only for us that are on the ground, but the players and to Rafi too. So I thought it was good.
Did everybody meet as a group, Alex?
No. Me, John, Rafi, obviously having Sam here and Craig, it helps, you know. But we talk a little bit, and I think everybody saw who was here. So I think that carries weight in the clubhouse.
So today, grounders at first. How could the owner show up and you not start taking grounders at first?
He clearly believes he's fully entitled to whatever money he's owed and doesn't owe the team anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of power. The union is strong. But
it's just such a pathetic, I mean... I don't know how you forget about that. Those comments.
I'll get past it quick. If he goes over there and starts taking grounders and starts mashing, I mean, he is mashing.
But
they can't trade him.
Was he replaced by a better third baseman?
Yes.
Okay.
Bregman's great.
And
love Bregman.
Would the Red Sox have put Devers at first if Casas didn't tear his patellar tendon, whatever it was?
No.
So then this is not some like backhanded plan that they lied to Devers about.
No, I don't think so. Although you and I were asking Alex about it at Winter Weekend. And it made sense at the time, they tried to trade Casas.
Right, but when they left Fort Myers with Casas at first base.
Right, that was their
plan. When they left Mexico and went to the, you know, Texas for their opener. The plan was, Devers, you're the DH. We're not going to play with you going back and forth to third. Third's done.
Yeah.
And this was going to be the season. But something happened to the first baseman where he is injured and unable to play the remainder of the season.
Where did they screw up, the organization, in this whole thing, if you put any blame at all on them?
By saying to Devers, we're not going to put you back at third. We called out the approach of Chaim Bloom and that group that got Devers to sign the 10-year, $300-plus million deal by saying, you're our third baseman. Devers was pissed that wasn't honored, and I get that in a way. And what they should have said is, Rafi, if you want the $330 million, show up to work and play where we tell you.
Yeah, which I think probably did in the manner of speaking. And he did.
No, he still kicked grounders at third because he's a child who needs to get his back rubbed. And there's no reason to be playing third.
Well,
none.
I don't know. He's a ball player. He needs to get in. He needs to get loose.
Okay, so we knew a week ago that that Costas was gone, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't the Red Sox, why didn't Devers say, I'd love to get back in the field?
Sometimes I come in the morning and Jackson is taking like on mic reps in the back to nobody. He's just like on the mic talking, like pretending it's a podcast. He just needs that to get in the mode of like.
There are 15 minute spurts where he's gone, like legitimately gone. We have no idea where he is.
Yeah, that's part of his routine.
Right. I can only imagine what would have been said to you or me if we left the studio for 15 minutes.
Greg gave him an assignment this weekend, which I'm very curious to see if he follows through on.
At the PAX East?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you think that'll come through?
Will it be better than the chef pre-playoffs in the Bruins menu?
It was pretty good. All right, where did the Red Sox screw up in this whole situation? If you put any blame on them at all, 617-779-7937. Do you expect Devers to take grounders at first today now that the owner has flown out there? And I give John Henry a little credit. Call me crazy. I'm a sucker for these things.
Sure.
I think he's coming around a little bit in terms of the eyes of the fan, the Red Sox fan who sees him back and engaged. He got Bregman here. It's a crochet day. Things are turning, and Zach Coe's got you trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox back down to 500 after a 2-1 extra innings loss in the first game of the series in Kansas City. Hunter Dobbins got the start. He went 6 shutout innings, allowing 5 hits, striking out 6. A Rafael Devers RBI groundout in the 11th accounts for the lone source of offense for the Sox. They'll look to bounce back tonight. Garrett Crochet taking the mound opposite Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started at 6:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. Celtics looking to climb back into their second round series against the Knicks this afternoon. They head to Madison Square Garden for Game 3. Only one injury to report on the Celtics side. They're listing Sam Hauser as doubtful. Tip-off in Game 3 from MSG set for 3:30. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 road win, and the Nuggets taking a 2-1 series lead over the top-seeded Thunder with a 113-104 win at home. Over in the NHL, Brad Marchand netting the overtime winner for the Panthers as they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4 to cut the Toronto series lead to 2-1. Jets also getting a win at home 4-0 to even up their series with the Dallas Stars at one game apiece. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Boston Sports Original, on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Yeah, so there were conversations. John, Sam, and I flew out earlier today. It was actually John who spoke directly with Rafi, but like it was important based on the situation that unfolded yesterday to come out here and have an honest conversation about what we value as an organization, and what we believe is important to the Boston Red Sox, and that being great teammates for each other. We think we had a productive conversation. John seems to have had a productive conversation, and that's where things stand right now.
Beatles Saturday. All right, so there's Brez, who was not invited to the closed door meeting. You think Rafi will ever speak with him again? He'll just like ignore that guy. Now he knows he's got the direct pipeline to the owner.
What does each paycheck look like when you make $30 million a year?
Oh. Paycheck. What about the private aviation you could afford with that? Do you just have the card, the gold card, and you can just fly anywhere from any airport at a moment's notice?
There is no elevation. Like, my dad's best friend, known him for 50-plus years, worked with him at Arthur Young before it became Ernst & Young. And early on in the 70s, or 80s, I don't know the exact year. He's like, John, real estate is where it's at. And my dad's like, all right, good luck. I got a safe job. And he turned that into $1 billion.
Oh.
Sold his company for over $1 billion. And they're going on trips, and it's like, yeah, we're going to leave the airport north of Boston, land in Rome. My parents went with them once to Rome. It was like a Gulf Stream where they all had their own bed. It's like, it's just, there's such a chasm between normal travel and that, all the headaches, especially with kids, or it's just, you just make a phone call, they drive you to the plane, and then you take off.
Well, it's a great comparison, actually, to Devers and the mindset of the pro athlete who's making that kind of money. It's hard to compare it to any normal job situation because we have texts coming in. The Red Sox are at fault for letting this go on as long as it has. 207 texter, he's a paid employee. He should fill the position that he's instructed to fill. Yeah, but when you make that much money, they gave you the keys to the organization. You don't have to talk to the chief baseball officer. You can talk to the owner, and you don't have to move if you don't want to, because what are their options? I mean, Schein was yelling about trading him yesterday. They're not trading Rafi Devers. The guy's here for 9 more years.
But I guess it is a similarity in that, as I said, what is the comp to this? Because I just don't remember someone so publicly being that insubordinate.
Nice. Jinx.
Where it's like, is that just come to mind when you look at me?
Yes.
But the Manny situation, people forget about it, but he was placed on irrevocable waivers and went unclaimed, which means every team in Major League Baseball could have had Manny Ramirez for his contract without giving up a single prospect, and they all said no. And they thought that that would be a way to sort of create some humility in the player. And in this case, I think a team would claim him. I don't know. But either way.
Oh, a team would definitely claim him. Are you kidding? He's still a great hitter.
For 350, that full they would claim the whole contract.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, how many teams do you think would be interested in that deal?
I mean, every team that has a DH now that would slot him in as one of the best DHs in the league. So
they would slot him in for 10 years and $300 million.
I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I would say 10 teams. I don't know. Not every team, obviously.
So you think if he was a DH entering this contract, he would have gotten the same deal?
I mean, that's interesting because I don't know that they knew his path was DH eventually, but they had to have had some kind of clue with as poor as his third base play is that eventually he's going to shift off this position. So, yeah, and contracts just keep going up. Look at these Ohtani contracts and everything else. I mean, the money is just sick in baseball.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for this team, but this has been a real bumpy first quarter. I mean, I did not think.
Do you like this Red Sox team? What are your current just gut feeling? You put them on and you're like,
I mean,
like
I've been to more Sox games this year than the last 4 years combined.
I know.
The kiosk. Did you hear that thing, by the way? You go behind home plate and there's that. So, like, you know, walking towards the exit on the left, there's a couple steps and it's like the big concession, which has almost all the options.
Mm-hmm.
So you wait in line and then you get to a digital kiosk and you know, Diet Coke, chicken finger basket, boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes up with the cost, and there's no way to exit the gratuity thing.
I heard you talking about this.
So it's 15%, and then it's for nothing. Because you're doing it on a computer, and then you walk over. The Diet Coke's already been poured, and the tender basket was made yesterday, and it just gives it to you.
I thought it was alarming, though, that James already knows your ATM code yesterday.
I know,
he was spouting that out to me. He's like,
sweet.
Like, okay, well, somebody knows where the cash is.
Right. James is very sad that Maya wasn't there. But I don't know.
They could be a likable team.
Right now. They are not a likable team right now.
I would agree with that. They're frustrating right now. They're highly frustrating. The expectations were higher, probably higher than they warranted before we'd actually seen them piece together. But they do have potential. I do like Cora, even though Cora in this, say, you would admit, Cora has just thrown his hands up and like basically taken himself out of this. He's not helping Breslow at all. He refuses to get involved. He's just like, if you want to talk to Rafi, it's on you, which is not great.
It hasn't been a great start for Cora this year.
He managed well last night. I liked the way he was aggressive last night. He walked Witt with the first base open. He was aggressive with pitching. Like last night he was on his game and they still lost, which sucked. It's just the offense just right now is just too many holes.
But you talk about one run games. How many of them can you put at the feet of Alex Cora?
Yeah, several.
So like, I don't know. I think he's, you know, I don't want to fire him. I'm not saying that, but. When it's your idea to bring Bregman in, and we all believe it was, there was this sort of tacit acceptance that he would also deal with whatever fires were created with that acquisition. And it doesn't feel like either he estimated Devers properly or if he, you know, because Cora, I don't think, is a fan of Casas at all. So that might have been a conversation you could have had right at the beginning. Like, hey, we might trade Casas. Could you play first?
508 texter says, Rafi gets, 857, two checks a month, April through October, $2.14 million a check.
Jesus.
$2 million a check. It's Greg Hill territory. 704, what was Sam Kennedy's role, John, in Kansas City? I think Sam was probably a comic presence there.
You think he did a stand-up act
after? I think he did.
He loves laughing.
I think he was probably on it. Now, that's one big story going on.
My favorite thing is when I'm walking down by the suite and the Red Sox personnel see me. They're like, okay, hey. They, like, avert their eyes. They don't even look at me. Colin said hello. I thought he just had a bad shrimp.
I thought you've come around with these people. You and Sam have reached an understanding.
I've never said anything to them. I just call it like I see it. This was a disaster. That they were terrified of Devers. Terrified.
It's not a disaster yet. I am worried.
I said it was a disaster. It's not, the season's not a disaster. This past week was a disaster.
Yeah, but no, they're and it could be. We could look back on this as if Devers doesn't come around, if John Henry doesn't get him over there, this could be a bad situation. Get to the Celtics here in a minute because they obviously are the 1B story of the day, if not 1A. But here's Ted in Winchester on the Rafi situation. Hello, Ted. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm a Devers guy, but listen, I think the real issue here is the two guys down in the minor league and their service time. I think it's very easy. If they weren't so worried about that, you bring the two of them up here, you throw Story at first, the kid goes to short, and Anthony's your outfielder. Because I don't. If you're going to keep the current team the way it is, and Devers is going to go to first, how does that make your team better and your lineup better? All it does is get Yoshi into the lineup, and I don't think that makes us better.
But you don't.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Okay. All right, Ted. I would put Roman Anthony at DH. That would get him in the lineup instantly. And then you spot him in the outfield here and there. What's wrong with that?
And maybe it's just that I learned to love sports in the 90s here, but Like, there wouldn't be a single person that would defend what Devers did ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. They lied to him twice. You have to at least admit that.
Oh, my God.
They did.
And he lied to them saying that he would do what he's asked.
Well, he did do what he was asked.
Why didn't he play a single game at third base in spring training?
At third base?
Right.
They told him not to?
No. He was pouting and didn't play. He took rounders when we were there, but he didn't do it in a game.
Yeah, you mean why did he miss all that time in spring training?
Right.
That was strange. Yes.
Strange, or...
And it started the season off on a horrible...
Right, play. So he hurt his team because he was a child and didn't tolerate the news that he was given.
Correct.
And we're defending that.
Well, he's hitting well now.
Okay, I'm just following along. Yeah. I don't, you know, it's hard for me. I'm just a logic guy. That doesn't seem to make much sense.
By the way, our Friday night poll at Sox Booth, the Chevrolet dealer's question of the night, who do you want to see at first base? Devers won the poll, 35%. Ahead of second place, trade for or sign a first baseman. Third place was either Meyer, Campbell, or Anthony, one of the three. Fourth place was Romy and Toro, which I know you're a big Romy guy.
I mean, I like Toro's a great lawnmower.
Now, when the sun breaks at 5 o'clock, will the Celtics be up 20 points? Third quarter today at the Garden.
We were talking about that at Fenway. I don't think we could do justice to just how awful. Like, there is not a word that is sufficient in the English language to describe just how pathetic those games were. And to do that, I literally sat there because all things being on the table, game one went to bed up 20 in the third quarter. I said, this is done. The Celtics are playing pretty mediocre to awful.
It's your fault then.
And they still had this 20-point lead, and the Knicks were doing everything they could. I said, over, another boring series. And game two... made sure to not make that mistake again. And it was like slow motion. You know, it was like the Patriots and the Falcons in a way where it's like...
You could see it coming.
You knew they were going to lose. You didn't know how. The second the Patriots got the second two-point conversion, you knew that they were going to somehow win that game and that Brady was going to take them down the field in overtime. And I watched that. And I have to say, I've come a long way on the Steve Kerr conducting business in the Olympics and what that means for Jason Tatum's view and how he is seen across basketball.
I actually, it's surprising to me how fast people have bailed on Tatum. Not everybody, not blaming you or saying you're wrong to do so, but it is like in two games, two losses,
no,
and
not,
people are out on Tatum.
No, Ken, it is a drastic,
remarkable shift of opinion on a guy.
It is not a shift. It is that this doesn't happen with superstars that have this supporting cast. Never. Did you think Jordan was ever on a team as talented as this one? Kukoc.
I like Pippen.
And, you know, Steve Kerr and John Paxson and Bill Cartwright.
Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Maybe with Rodman. But by and large, I watch this Celtics team, and Tatum, there's just a je ne sais quoi. He doesn't have that go out there and take over a game mentality. He has at times. He's done it. But he's just passive by nature.
I mean, he could have won NBA Finals MVP last year. He didn't, but he got some votes. So it's not like he has never been a main factor.
Who said he's never been a main factor?
Well,
he's
missing the clutch.
He views himself as a disrespected MVP of the NBA.
Right.
But he doesn't play that way in these moments when the whole country is watching.
He hasn't yet. It's two games. And his team is not as good around him currently. But Porzingis is like a shell. I don't know what he is. And Jaylen Brown is coming around, but he started poor. Game one, he looked...
What's a bigger mismatch? This Knicks team against the Celtics or the Giants of 07 against the perfect season Patriots?
Probably this team.
So,
on paper.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
not good, but it's not over yet.
Why does it happen? Why does he disappear?
Well, it's not just him. They have missed 75 three-pointers in a two-game span, the most in NBA playoff history. How many of those are Tatum's?
Tatum has been awful from three-point land.
He's not been good, but that's a collective. They needed to hit one more of those.
But here's the thing. Is like we spend so much time, you know, for a while it was Mahomes or Josh Allen, right? Eventually, no matter how much of a Bills fan you are or how many regular season games the Bills win against the Chiefs, 99.9% of the football watching public accepts that Mahomes is the quarterback of this generation. He's just been great more often than not when everything's been on the line. Mm-hmm. The talent around him has gotten worse. He's gotten better. He's been consistently excellent when they've needed him to be that. And you don't fight about it anymore. Just like the Brady stuff. You don't fight about it because, or Montana when he was playing. You just know. Jordan, Kobe. Like,
okay, well, last night
I watched
SGA have a chance to win the game, and he clanged it out, back rim. Okay. Had a bad night. It happens.
How many MVPs has SGA won?
What people say he's the best player in the league.
Okay, I know, but how many MVPs has he won?
I don't think he's won any.
Right. So he has a lot on his shoulders now, too, just like Tatum. The point is, it's not something that you litigate in a sports bar. It's something that you see with your eyes when the moment is the biggest. And for whatever reason, Tatum has not too often.
Well, did his coach give him any help?
He said, Jason,
run the same exact play without a timeout we just ran. Is that good supporting cast? I mean, how dumb can you be?
Had two points at halftime. 2 points.
Okay, but you're talking about clutch and finish moments and things.
Okay, well, is there any scenario by which you would accept?
He had a slam dunk, and then the coach said, do it again.
You don't have to get me going on how bad Mazzulla is.
The game is more on Mazzulla than it is Tatum.
I wouldn't say that's crazy. I'm just saying, if what we're talking about is not that Tatum was awful, it's that he's not been great. That's like,
agreed.
It's that simple. Like, Jeter's Jeter, because he was great in the biggest spot. And I watch this team, and I'm sorry. The guy says it's crazy to say that the Giants were a historical underdog. The Giants were the same underdog as the Patriots against the greatest show on turf. I believe the Celtics were, or the Knicks were plus 900 going into this game, this series. I would say it's equivalent or bigger upset in Vegas there, Chief.
Tatum from 3 in the fourth quarter in the series is 0-7 per our guy Terp. That's not very – and Brown's 0-2.
It's pathetic. To have two games in a row where you're up 20-plus in the third quarter and to lose both at home,
it's
never been done.
They didn't make a basket from the 8:40 mark after the Pritchard 3 to the 18-second mark till that dunk. They did not make a basket. You went to BC and shot threes and were 2-for-30,
well,
and you were kind of better than they were in that sequence.
And I had no defense, which got me off. I'm better with a guy in my face.
But again, I feel good about today. They're a good road team. They will rally. Same as the Cleveland Cavaliers did yesterday. Backs to the wall on the road. Here come the Celtics today. Let us know how you feel. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Sean in Montana, I think. Hi, Sean.
Hello, and good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're up early out there.
Yeah, I am. Just getting my day started. A couple things. I'm going to talk real quickly about the Red Sox thing. You know, I'll get to Celtics. Do you both think, I mean, this is really important to think about this too. Do we all think as Red Sox fans and the wonderful people at WEI about the fact that could have been possible that maybe there was stuff actually going on inside like the locker room where Devers was like creating more of the drama? I mean, honestly, we know that it's been a rough few months, but maybe that is also why the team has been slumping. I mean, I wonder what you guys think about that.
Especially when you have reports of players who were telling Rafi to stop talking or whatever was going on around them in the middle of the press conference.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of veteran team that they brought in, you know, Story, Walker Buehler, Bregman, who probably don't like what they're seeing. I would agree with that.
Maybe there was a lot of that stuff that was going on that we didn't even know about. Like, you know, we've seen that before with Boston sports teams or with other teams in general where there's a falling out that happens and then toxic drama. And I hate toxic drama that happens. We all do not like it. It's not good for the health. I mean, that would happen. And secondly, you know, you gentlemen are right. I mean, the Celtics have every right to be ripped about it. I mean, they've got to stop shooting threes. I mean, look, I understand the NBA of today is the three ball, but for goodness sakes, I've always said it many times, attack the paint. They got to go to the basket and they have to attack the paint. And the biggest thing they've got to do today, they have to take that crowd out of the game very quickly. I mean, Tommy Heinsohn had a saying. He goes, I've been involved with a lot of 7 games. And rest in peace to Tommy Heinsohn. He said, one of the things you want to do when you're on the road, if it could be the 7th game or whatever, take the crowd out as quickly as possible. You know, that's the biggest thing they need to do. And you both are right. I mean, it's just inexcusable. I'm not completely over the fact that they blew two 20-point leads. As a Celtic fan, it made me just so frustrated like everybody else, because you don't just take your foot off the pedal. You know, you're up by 20 points, two games, and you blow them, and you stand around, you chuck up threes, the fatigue starts setting in, and then you let the Knicks back in the game and stuff too. And that's really frustrating to play like that. And
Sean, thank you for the call. I agree with most of your points. And I don't know about getting the crowd out of the game, because what if you go up 20 in the third quarter? Do you want to go up 20 in this game?
I don't think the crowd's an issue for these guys. For whatever reason, they play great in those places. They've been the best road team in basketball this year. They've been one of the best road teams in Celtics history this year. I think they win today. But, boy, oh, boy. If they lose this series, Mazzulla's fired. Without a doubt.
I mean, I would hope so, but I don't think it's happening. This is Tatum and Brown's guy, remember. They handpicked him.
Yeah, you think Tatum still thinks he's his guy?
Maybe not.
Said he had a good look. Can we play that sound? That was the most shocking audio of the week.
Okay, I want to hear the shocking audio of the week. I also want to go back to our old staple, most to lose and most to gain. The Celtics in this series. And later.
Are you talking about the match, Shime v. Greg?
Yes, May 20.
May 20.
High noon. There is a Karen Grigian Vrabel story out that is pure Patriots porn. I mean, it's, again, Vrabel is pushing all the right buttons. Yesterday at rookie minicamp, he is involved, and it is exciting.
It's concerning,
awesome.
Though. It feels like, and I hope the defensive coordinator is okay, but yeah. It's like every year the Patriots have an assistant coach that's suffering from some massive health scare. So that's he's doing okay, but said he was scared, you know, very scary health scare or a very scary health episode for the defensive coordinator.
Talking stars today, Devers, Tatum, and Chris Curtis right here on EEI.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Joe, what was the thought process with not calling timeout there with 12 seconds left?
Had one left, got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier. Tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a better job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on the last Tatum dunk. So.
And then with how much is the time consideration a factor there with 12 seconds, giving yourself a couple cracks at it, you know, if you advance the ball there potentially?
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. So you don't know that at the point of you know, JT was driving left. You know, thought he had a good look, saw it at an angle, didn't shoot it, and you know.
Psycho Joe, our guy, Celtics, not on the brink, but certainly in the hole. 0-2.
I'll ask you what I asked Greg, Wiggy, Courtney, and Shine. What's the series at today if you flip coaches? Everything else is the same.
Tibbs isn't doing anything, but by not doing anything, he's out coaching Mazzulla. Who's
I'm
making
just asking
dumb
a simple
decisions.
Question. What's the score of the series today? What's the status?
I think it's 1-1.
2-0. Celtics.
No, 1-1. I think Tibbs wins you that game too while you're up 20. He just plays it by the book. He does the smart things. He doesn't do anything dumb, and you hang on to win that one. The first one.
You mean like down a point running an identical play, ISO into three guys, and then the coach saying it was a good look?
Correct. By the way, is there any better look than when things are not going well for the Knicks and they put the camera on Tibbs? He just has a perfect look of concern, confusion, and angst. I love it with that. Just those couple of hair follicles, which I can relate to, just like hanging on in the breeze.
I mean,
there.
It's time to give up the ghost, Tibbs. But people, many people smarter than I would say that he was the reason, coaching-wise, that Celtics team won in 07-08.
Really?
That he was the defensive coordinator, that he did a brilliant job of matchups. Look at Doc without him. Not exactly a successful head coach.
Do you like the hack of Mitch, whatever's going on there?
I don't love it. I think I am all in on these playoffs. Mago asked when she was in on Wednesday with the Greg Hill Show, and it's been remarkably good. I've really enjoyed the product. They've allowed guys to play. It's been physical. It's
last night,
drama.
Denver OKC was really good. It didn't end until 1 in the morning,
yeah,
but it was good.
I was long gone. But by and large, I have enjoyed them. And today, what a great setting for the game. You're Madison Square Garden, 3 o'clock Saturday. all day to get ready.
Why is that the time, by the way? Why do they go
early? What
are
you complaining about that for? That's awesome.
Yeah, I went like 7 o'clock.
What?
It's a little early for me. On a Saturday?
Why not?
I really stretched the legs on the weekends.
When you got up, when I did, you did not. There was no stretching of the legs. You just stick in that world. You can't. If the second you deviate, you're cooked.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Most to lose, most to gain. We want to get through that real quick. Talk about if they win the series now. If the Celtics win the series, like, I guess it's Tatum, because right now he's getting trashed much more than I thought he would. So he will have had to put the team on his back to overcome an 0-2 hole, which is good for his
Jason
resume.
Tatum has had a spectacular semifinal conference series against the Bucks in Game 6. He had 48 points, whatever it was, 2 years ago.
And yeah, but he's never been down 0-2 at home.
No, but I'm saying that he's had a signature moment in this round of the playoffs before. If they get past the Knicks, it'll be like, okay, let's see what you do in against the Pacers or the Cavs, and then in the final.
So who has most to gain?
Most to lose is Tatum.
Most to lose is Mazzulla, if you think they're going to fire him.
No. I think most to gain... Well, maybe it is both Tatum, I guess. I think he has the most on the line. I do think if they lose the series, Mazzulla could be fired. But I guess if they
lose the series, some people feel like they're going to trade Jalen as well. So you could.
Well, does it have to be a Celtic or could it be a Knick?
Be a Knick.
Yeah, I think most to gain, Brunson would like legitimize Brunson. This.
Yeah.
Clutch.
He's already like one of the top selling jerseys, but he'll go through. He'll go next level.
That's because he plays in New York.
Probably, but he's clutch. He is good, and Tibbs always trusts him. Takes him out. But brings him in at the right time.
My question for the analytics people, which obviously have taken over our world of sports. Do they not understand what, look at Tatum here and then in the regular season, like clearly there is an impact on performance as the pressure increases, but why do they always act as though that's a fake stat?
What, and separately, what about the success of road teams? Do you have an explanation for that? It's bizarre. Like in this whole playoffs, road teams are winning at an unbelievable clip, which you would think there's, how does that happen? Pressure rises on the road, but.
No Donaghy.
Yeah, it could be. Could be refs. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good morning, gents. Red Sox, bus frame. I can't even turn my attention to them yet with the Celtics. I've watched so many games, invested. I'm so angry. I almost want to clean up my garage today at 3:30 as opposed to watch the game. But you know, it's not, you know, Tatum's a worldly player. To me, he leads the team. They just play soft, and they're physically soft. I haven't seen Tatum take a charge all year long. He goes to the rim. He's better going to the rim than he ever was in the past, but he's still soft going the rim. He flips him up. He never finishes strong. And in the playoffs, you just don't get those ticky-tack fouls. You know, that at the end of the game when he had that wide-open three, I knew he wasn't going the rim because there was a chance he was going to get a foul. You know, and he's a rebound machine, but if you look, half his rebounds are on the weak side on the defensive board when the other team's cleaned out and head back. How many times do you remember him taking down a rebound, offensive rebound in traffic, or when there's guys around the basket at the end of the game? You know, it's not all on Tatum. You know, Porzingis, unfortunately, is kind of a physical, and he's going through this ailment now, his respiratory, but he's kind of a soft player. The only guy that can kind of play a little bit of bully ball is Brown, and he's great one-on-one, but once you kind of double team him, he's got blinders on, he's awful passing out of the double team, and the only time he tries to pass out of it when it's too late and he's got himself in trouble. And then the last thing I just had to say, Lou was so right on Average Al. I give him a little pass. The guy's 38, but at 6'10", you got to have some kind of move around the basket. He's fading away. Yeah, he can cover all five guys, but he covers all five guys average. You know, Towns is eating him up down low. You know, he can't stay with the quicker guys. So he's just, you know, at this age of his career, he's just average. And to me, I'd rather have Cornett out there at the end of the game. At least he'll get down under the basket. He'll fight for a rebound. He might get something. It's too bad. You know, team's so talented, but they're going to be bowing out to this crappy Knicks. Well, not crappy Knicks team, but they're better than them, but they're just too soft mentally and physically playing.
All right, Tom, we'll keep the faith. I hope your garage stays messy today. He's not wrong. The team largely feels a little fragile. I don't know if I'd use the word soft, but don't you think, like, right now, between Jalen's knee, Porzingis and his illness, Tatum's wrist, the complaints, like, they seem a little fragile.
It's such a weird... there is no comp for this team. Like,
especially when the manager is a jiu-jitsu guy. They should be going in.
Well,
going in for the grapple.
The second Mazzulla said that he has no memorabilia in his home from the championship season, like, people just morons. Are they lemmings? Like,
you would agree with me. Mazzulla's more to blame than Tatum. Come on. I know your brain.
I can't say more to blame because there's so much more on the shoulders of Tatum. Tatum can impact the series so much more than the coach can. So I put more of the fact that they're down 2-0 on Tatum, but Mazzulla's a boob.
781 texture. Wiggy's best take of the week was when he said Game 3, must win for the Knicks. If the Celtics win today, they win the series. Do you agree?
No. I do think they win the series. I don't think it's a must win for the Knicks. I think if the Knicks win Game 4, then the Celtics have to win 3 straight to win the series. So I read the great media writer in town wrote that Game 2 was a must win for the Boston Celtics. So, like, do you just stop writing after that? Because they lost. So is the series over?
Is that Kendrick Perkins?
It's such an overutilized phrase. Do or die. Must win. Like, the Celtics, how great would it be? They go down 3-0, and then they beat the Knicks like they beat the Yankees.
Oh, man.
There's a storyline for you.
How about that? Another 3-0 comeback. Is that what you're calling for?
I do. I'm writing that down right now.
All right. Well,
and I need somebody that knows betting. I want the analytics of Giants, Patriots, first play, Super Bowl.
Yeah. Somebody, Texter called you an idiot for saying that.
Right. I corrected them on the air. You weren't listening. And the other versus this series with the Knicks entering the series and entering the Super Bowl, the odds for the New York team to get the upset.
Can I also next juxtapose the St. Michael Vrabel up against Joe Mazzulla and what he did yesterday at rookie minicamp? It's a thing of beauty. We'll give you the details per Karen Garigia next.